last week. They are delighted with this church, as we were delighted with them. And I have good news for you. We met Jesus in Santa Apolonia, Guatemala. 52 of us found ourselves face to face with Jesus in Julio, in El Pastor, in what seemed like a million little children with wild eyes and hands sticky from bubble solution. We found ourselves holding Jesus' hands, crying tears with Jesus, playing soccer at night by the light of one very dim street light with Jesus. We carried bricks up hills with Jesus and Samuel. We ate food prepared by beautiful hands and beautiful hearts that love Jesus. Jesus was everywhere. And we come back to you and we report these things, not to brag about ourselves or make some sort of scene of ourselves. No. We come and share because when you encounter something so magnificent, it's a travesty not to share it. Paul, the Apostle Paul, talks about this kind of magnificence in his prayer for the Ephesians. This prayer was the guiding scripture for our time in Guatemala. And you were revisiting a text that Pastor Ryan preached on last week, this prayer that Paul prays for the Ephesians, that they would know God, that they would experience God, and that they would do the will of God. If you would open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Paul writes this, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every nation, every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine according to his power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Our team quickly learned that when we left our comfort zones and we stepped into God's wild will for us, in that church parking lot a week and a half ago, that we were in for a ride. Without phones or beds or clean clothes or anything really familiar, we were left to rely on God. To rely on the God who called us together, who created us, and who promised to walk with us, who gave us those 5 loaves and 2 fishes and asked that we present them back to him. And to be very honest, I was terrified. I told God many times in preparation for this trip that he had the wrong person. I bargained and I denied and I tried to wriggle myself out of this call a few times. What if I just broke my leg? Then I couldn't go on the trip. Everything would have been fine. Oh, I forgot to get my passport. It's okay. I can't go. Oopsies. Finally, I was gracefully reprimanded by this text. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, Paul's prayer for me, Paul's prayer for us, encourages us to acknowledge that God is too much. God is too much. See, Paul prays 3 things. He prays that we would experience the power of God that is beyond comprehension. He prays that we would know the love of God that is beyond knowledge. And he prays that we would act in the will of God that is beyond our own desires or demands. Paul prays that the Ephesians would experience the power of God in their inner being. Night 1. We had traveled a very long day. We were quite tired, and we get to the church, and we finally put our stuff down. And I said, "Hey, let's have a team meeting. Let's all gather in the sanctuary." And we were surprised to know that it rains in Guatemala, and we didn't just think it like it just drizzled. The day we got there, torrential downpours. I lived in the Midwest for 7 years and have never experienced the kind of thunderstorm, rainstorm, lightning storm that we experienced that first night. We were in the sanctuary, and most of the buildings in Guatemala are built with metal roofs. So here we are in this building, and we're kind of gathered around. They look like this over here, and I'm standing here, and I'm like, "Okay, let's have a conversation." They can't even hear me, okay? So I'm like, "All right, let's wait for the rain to die down." It never dies down. And then, in my stupidity, at one point I said, "Oh, come on, God." And all of a sudden, whoosh, like we couldn't, everyone was like, "Oh." And I was like, "Okay, I'm listening." We experienced the power of God that first night in the rain. And God was quick to prove his power to us again and again and again. And our friends Jared Cooley and Cassidy Pearson were very quick to remind us of God's power throughout the week. We experienced the movement of the Spirit when we encountered gracious and courteous airline employees. When we were able to have showers at the church, which meant we could shower more than once on this trip. When trucks showed up to haul a ton of construction supplies up a very long and steep hill so that we didn't have to carry it on our backs. When friendships were formed between Merge staff and members of Iglesia Belin and the children that attended VBS. These events, they influenced our experience in Guatemala, and through these events, God changed our inner beings. He provided beyond expectation or reason, and we noticed, and people helped us notice, and it changed us. Paul prays that the Ephesians would experience the power of God. And then Paul prays that the Ephesians would know the love of God that is beyond knowing. That's what he says. Love beyond knowledge. Love that fills us with the fullness of God. God's love is compelling and it's hospitable. This all-consuming love doesn't mind the stranger or the outsider or the beautiful or the ugly. This love always makes space. It always has room. It is always giving. And Paul tells us that this love is entirely beyond our knowledge. Our tiny human brains, we have no way of fully knowing how good this love is. But we get tastes of it. We get glimpses of it. We get peeks into that love when people allow God to do his best work in them. I want you to hear a couple stories from students who got to experience this love, got to begin to know the love that's beyond knowing. And so I've invited Brianne to share some of her story with us.
When you sent me and my team to Guatemala, I pridefully thought that I was being sent to bring the love of Jesus to the people of Guatemala. And I'm embarrassed to admit that because I was being sent to learn about the love of Jesus. I heard on the radio last night while I was trying to think about what I wanted to say this morning that Jesus loves in four ways. And he loves through touch, presence, proximity, and he loves through dignity. And the people of Guatemala have this figured out a lot better than we do in the States, because often we don't really love with one of those characteristics, let alone all four, all the time. I thought of the verse before I left, when you clothe and when you feed and when you house the least of these, you clothe, you feed, and you house me. And I didn't realize that in this situation, I was the least of these, because they've got it figured out when you think about the love of Jesus down there. I didn't know how I was going to be able to convey my love for these people because there's this language barrier, and as many times as I can learn te amo in Spanish, you can't convey the love of God through words. And I didn't learn that until a man named Julio walked into our church the night that we arrived. And he taught me that the love of God doesn't need a translator because it doesn't have a language. Julio, I don't have words for Julio, except that he was the embodiment of the love of Jesus. He reminds me of the father from the prodigal son, and we were all of his prodigal kids. We walked through the church doors, and he would get this smile on his face, and he'd jump up, and he'd go, "Hola, mi amigos!" And he'd run towards us, and he'd ask us how our day was in Spanish, and we'd answer him in English, and he'd just smile and be like, "Yay!" And he'd just get excited. And we learned from Julio over this week that we could communicate with him without this language barrier, or with this language barrier, because we both loved God. And so as we started to leave, like as our days got closer to the end, Julio would talk to us every night, and he'd start crying when he would tell us that he knew that our time was coming towards an end, and he would try and tell us about how much he loved us, and he'd give us hugs, and he would cry every time that we hugged him. And it reminded me of how Jesus responds when we go to him. And one thing that will stick with me that Julio would always tell us is, for the last 3 nights that we were there, he would tell us with tears streaming down his face and a smile on his face, that if we ever wanted to come back, there would always be someone there waiting for us, and it would be him. And if we didn't get to see him before on earth, he would be waiting for us in heaven. And that just reminds me of how much God loves us, and if there's anybody on this earth that can embody how much Jesus loves us, it's Julio. Thank you.
As you can see, our team got tastes and glimpses and peaks of the love of Jesus through the hospitality of our friends in Santa Apolonia. Every meal that was prepared for us was a labor of love. And we were readily welcomed into 10-foot by 10-foot concrete homes, given the best places to sit, offered the finest and driest spots for our dirty backpacks. Deacons from the church woke up extremely early, beat us to the bathrooms in the morning so that they could fill up the water jugs so that we could have water to wash our hands with and take showers with. People hugged us constantly. They played with us willingly. They loved us with this overwhelming and unknowing kind of love. Our friends in Santa Apolonia were filled with the fullness of God, and it came pouring out over onto us. You can probably see us basking in the glow of this overflow. We were filled with all the fullness of God by people who were willing to themselves be full of God. And we began to know this love that is beyond knowing because they were willing to love. Paul ends his prayer by praising the God. Praising God who is able to put love into action through us. Able to do it beyond our asking or our comprehending. I think it's safe to say that our team found, without the distractions of our phones or our to-do lists or our own comforts and securities, that God does miraculous, loving, and profound things every single day. Not only do we get to experience them and know them, but we get to participate in them. I want you to hear from another student who participated in this kind of love. Come on up, Annie.
Hi, I'm Annie Strom. So when we left for Guatemala, it was in the wake of brutal violence, discrimination, and injustice. I left a country that had been divided and driven by fear, and walked into the warm and welcoming arms of Santa Apollonia. The relationships I made with my brothers and sisters in Christ have been truly transformative. My white privilege was checked, my narcissism was shattered, and my vanity was dismissed, and my ego was humbled. And through the eyes and heart of a child, I experienced love that surpassed knowledge. For VBS, we had three different teams. My team went offsite to a neighboring village named Cahulia, where we met at a two-room schoolhouse. On the first day, a little girl with a lazy eye tugged on my shirt. I looked down at her, and she immediately grabbed me and gave me a huge hug. I was a goner. I knew Maria for a total of 6 hours, 3 days of VBS. But through my minimal Spanish, bubbles, pato pato ganso, hopscotch, and songs, we formed an immeasurable bond. After each day of VBS, I would return to the church we were staying at with a huge smile. I loved playing with the kids, and I felt honored to be able to form relationships with them. I was warned by my fellow team members that the last day would be rough when it was time to say goodbye. I, on the other hand, was like, oh no, I'll be fine. I don't cry. It's all good. Well, at the end of closing on the last day, one of our interpreters said something like, es el último día, which means it's the last day. And Maria, who had been sitting next to me, looks up at me. I was just like, ¿qué? I was like, sí, es tiempo para decir salir. She's like, oh. And so then, as we walk out of the schoolhouse, she's holding onto my hand, and we sit down on the cement. I just start to weep. Firstly, because I was so overwhelmed at the idea of being separated from her, but also at the injustice of her living conditions. My heart broke to think that Maria might not be able to finish school or that she won't be able to fulfill her dreams. Through my tears, I looked down into Maria's eyes, only to see tears swimming down her face as well. We cried in each other's arms until it was time to leave. The ride back to church was rough as well, as I was faced with the knowledge that I would most likely never see Maria again. That was not God's plan. I was, in fact, able to see Maria again at church 2 days later, where we sat on the ceramic floor and she played with my hair. When the church had practically emptied out and it was just me and Maria's family left, I was given the opportunity to pray for her and her family. I thanked God for their family. I prayed that their new house would become a sanctuary of God's love and safety. But mostly, I prayed that each of them would always know that they are loved. Although Maria's mother told me that I was a blessing to their family for loving Maria, Maria was the true blessing. Her willingness to trust me, love me, and cry for me was such a blatant example of what it means to be rooted in God's love. Maria taught me to be joyful and thankful despite my circumstances and to love unconditionally. But above all, she showed me the power of sharing God's love with others. Thank you.
The highlight of the trip for me, wow, that was a good one, was experiencing with 52 other people more of how God created us and more of how God could use us in this world. I witnessed a seemingly timid individual climb up a very tall ladder to paint beautiful and welcoming calligraphy on the walls of Iglesia Belin. I witnessed previously unsure freshmen become leaders and guides to sweet children at VBS. I watched a pained senior push through his pain in order to play soccer with kids on the street. I observed a young woman with photography skills come out from behind the lens and make kids giggle with glee at the sight of their faces on the screen. God did exceedingly more than any of us could have asked or imagined. I still sense a bit of shell-shockness as we remember these events. In our reflections each night, I asked people how they were processing their experience, both teens and adults. And together, they both said that they had discovered the freedom of being stripped of all that was comfortable and secure. Everything that was normal and easy and regular was taken away. And not once did I hear someone complain, "Darn it, I just want to flush my own toilet paper." Or, "For the love of Pete, I'd love to take more than a 30-second shower." Nothing. Rather, they reflected on how present they were. They noticed that they had time to notice things. They were aware and they were awake. They were right where they were. Being forced into a situation that requires letting go of how things used to be, what was comfortable, what was easy, what they had done for 18, 30, 61 years before, gave all of us the opportunity to imagine how God could create things to be. You see, along with the memories and all the transformation, we bring back this question. What if? What if we were to continue to give up our notions of how things used to be in order that we may take up notions of how God could create things to be by his power, by his love, and by his will? I believe that our wildest dreams and our greatest expectations will be exceeded by the activity of the God who wants us to know his love that is truly beyond knowing, and to put into action this unreasonable love by asking the question, God, how are you creating this to be? To this God, and this God alone, be glory in the church here, in Santa Apolonia, and all over the world, throughout all generations, forever and ever and ever. Amen.
Hi, my name's Alex. So before I went on this trip, I wasn't the person I wanted to be. I made decisions that ruined relationships and kept on making the same mistakes. I wanted to change, but I knew I needed help. Now to me, I thought by going on this trip, that meant all of my problems went away, and it was now my turn to help. But I was wrong. I mean, yeah, I helped a lot of the Guatemalan families, but they taught me more. A kid by the name of Samuel, who was an eight-year-old boy at our work site, really stuck out to me. Between us gringos and Samuel, there was a double language barrier, but that didn't stop us from becoming his friend. From the first day to walking up and down the hill to our work site to the last, he became a little brother to me. He would unscrew my water bottle and give it to me when he knew I was thirsty, but only if he got to ride on my shoulders. He would also take the shovel away from my hands to scoop the sand into everyone's back. He did all of these things because he cared about us and he wanted to help. And on the last day, his dad told us that every day after we left, he cried because he was sad. It hit me in that moment, the impact I made on Samuel probably changed his life, just as he had changed mine. God used me to demonstrate his love. I was his power. On the Saturday night, we had our worship circle and a little debrief chat. My favorite song, 10,000 Reasons, was being played, and it brought me to this moment with God. I had never felt it before, so I just kind of closed my eyes. I was scared, more or less anxious on what was to come. All of a sudden, the person I was right then, including all of my sins and mistakes, were right there. I could feel my chest tightening. Something unbearable was happening, so I cried. I continued to cry until Britta knew God was up to something. Britta asked if we could talk about how I was feeling. We sat on the staircase, and I laid down all of my burdens, and we prayed. I opened my heart to God, and he showed me that he has a plan for me that I cannot change. The next morning, I felt different. I physically felt lighter inside, and it was something that I could never explain. God set me free that night, and I'm still feeling his power in my life. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Olivia, for those of you who don't know me. So, going into this trip, I didn't really know what to expect, and I just tried to have an open mindset and be flexible for whatever God was calling me to do. So when we got there, we put on a three-day VBS for the kids there, and I was asked to share my testimony to these kids. And talking in front of people has never really been my thing, so I was nervous. I remember talking with Britta on the way back from our work site about sharing my testimony that night. One of the things that she had said to me was, some of these kids have already experienced what you've gone through. It was then that I knew God has picked me to share my story. Losing my mom was the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I was angry, confused, and frustrated that God took my mom from me. Through this time, Jesus provided me with amazing friends and families to help take care of me. He provided me with my relationship with my dad and my sister to get me through this tough time. I learned to trust and lean on God. Because of all this, I get to share the love of Christ through my story. Sharing this with these kids was hard, but it was a huge step in my faith and has helped me have a deeper understanding of Christ. Thank you.